I just wanted to do a quick clarification with regards to the subdivisions that was just supported by the city of Savannah. They basically get the ability to basically issue a COA, but the subdivision still has to meet the law, which I have to sign off on. So it's a little bit different beast. We're going to have to see how this works as we move forward. And I have to talk with them to figure out what the effective date is. But the landmark district is very different than the historic districts, period. And I just wanted to be real clear about that. We are very different than any other city because this is Georgia and very strong property rights. So a COA will be issued or can be issued, but at the end of the day, the staff will do a review to make sure it meets the minimum legal requirements for a subdivision, period. And if, you know, when the landmark district looks at the subdivision, they can only look at it from the standpoint of lot size. It has no design on it, no access, no nothing, only the legal standards. So I wanted to be very clear about the way that is set up for you all, just so that you know what's going on with that.
Melanie, what are the legal What are the legal standards?
Well, the subdivision, and it's one of those things where if it comes to the MPD even before the amendment in place, we could discuss the way that this is supposed to work. But legally, the subdivision has to meet the minimum requirements of the zoning district that it was in. My approach would have been to change and deal with the overlay district first to look at what some of the standards should be, but that's not what happened. But legally, the legal standard is, and the law is, that if a subdivision meets the requirement for the zoning district in which it sits in, whether it's an overlay or not, even an overlay district has to meet the overall zoning district in which it sits on top of, then it has to be approved. I mean, you get very little to not approve the subdivision. That's why they're always done at staff level. That's the law in any city that you go to, period. The only flexibility you get is if you've got 10 acres or more. But you don't get to look at how a building could be facing or anything like that because it's just a raw piece of land when the land is subdivided. It's quiet on my end, so I don't know. Could you guys hear me? My response?
Yes, we can.
Melanie, I heard you, but you were in and out, and I'll just ask Jonathan for clarification.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess that's fine, but I just basically the bottom line is that Georgia law, you know, is property rights. So if the property meets the requirements of the overarching zoning, that's the base zoning. Like the historic district is an overlay on top of the base zoning, then that subdivision has to be approved. Like if it's a 10,000 square foot lot and the zoning would support a 5,000 square foot lot, then that zoning gets approved. If somebody needs to do a lot combination because they want to increase the lot size, then that gets approved. That is not something where you get to look at how a building or how anything is going to sit on that lot. It's pretty cut and dry. Did you hear that?
Yes, I think that makes a lot more sense. You were much clearer.
Okay, that's fine. I'm sorry if I'm going in and out. I'm sorry about the technology, but that's just the point. So it's not what I think a lot of people think, because I still have to I have to sign off on the subdivisions. It might get issued a COA, but the actual plat itself, I have to sign. Because that's the way the laws are set up.
Okay, that clarifies things. Thank you.
Okay, you're quite welcome. You're quite welcome. And we'll see what happens with this. There's not that many lots really in the Landmark District that this impacts. And this originally was supposed to be for tithing lots only. And the people that really will probably be the most impacted, whether they realize it or not, is the city when they get ready to do recombinations and stuff, because this is for any subdivision, which includes recombining lots as well.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck today with your meeting. I also wanted to make a note too, while I've got you guys, just to remind you that the meeting time change, just to remind everybody that the time for next month's meeting has been changed, if you want to announce that to the public.
To what?
I think 2:00.
All right. Great. Thank you.
You're welcome. 2:00?
For the
pre-meeting
or the actual meeting?
I don't know. For the real meeting. So 1:30 for the pre-meeting.
Pre-meeting.
Oh, cool. All right. Thank you. Are we ready? Board members? Ready?
Ready.
All right. Happy New Year, everybody. We would like to welcome you to the January 3rd, 2024 meeting of the Historic Preservation Commission. The purpose of the commission is to provide for the protection, enhancement, perpetuation, and use of areas having a special historical, cultural, and aesthetic interest or value in order to promote the health, prosperity, and general welfare of the people. The preservation of this heritage is of basic and vital importance for the development and maintenance of the community's tourism, its culture, and for the protection of property values because of their association with history. This commission is appointed by City Council and is not affiliated with any for-profit or nonprofit organizations. Preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards as set forth in the City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance are used by the board to determine the compatibility of proposed changes and new development visible from the public right-of-way, including streets, lanes, and sidewalks within the Savannah Local Historic and Conservation Districts. The commission cannot consider criteria not specifically identified within the ordinance. Items such as land use, landscaping, parking availability, traffic, noise, impact on property values, and interior arrangement of structures are not within the board's purview and cannot be a factor in the issuance or denial of a certificate of appropriateness. Similarly, personal preference will not be a basis for decisions. At this time, we ask everybody to turn off their cell phones. Do we have anyone online? No. Each commissioner must state their name when you speak and when you vote on an item. Will the commission members present please identify themselves by name for the record? Robin?
Robin Williams.
Kirsten Connor.
Kathy Labina.
Darren Bagley Heath.
May Boley.
Pam Miller.
Members of the board receive an electronic agenda the week before the meeting and individually visit the sites of the projects. If a project is not properly posted, it is removed from the agenda and rescheduled. Were there any projects not properly posted this month?
No.
No. Thank you. Consent agenda. These agenda items have been found by the preservation officer to be in accordance with the preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards, and have apparent consensus with no known objections from the public. Is there any member of the public or the board who wishes to remove an item from the consent agenda? None. To the regular agenda. I guess we don't even have to approve that since there aren't any. So let's keep going. Adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion to adopt the agenda?
Mabel Lee, motion to adopt the agenda.
Pam Miller, second.
In favor, Robin?
Robin Williams, approved.
Kirsten Connor, approved.
Darren Bagley-Heath, approved.
Mabel Lee, approved.
Pam Miller, approved.
Motion carries. Approval of minutes of previous meeting. Minutes from the previous meeting are attached to the agenda. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes of the previous meeting? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the minutes?
Robin Williams, make a motion to approve the minutes.
Kirsten Connor, second.
For the vote, Robin?
Robin Williams, approved.
Kirsten Connor, approved.
Darren Bagley-Heath, approve.
Mabel Lee, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Motion carries. Seeing no items to be removed from the final agenda, we will continue to the continued agenda. These are items that have been continued and deferred to the next meeting or a date certain, or that staff has determined incomplete at this time. Is there a motion to approve the continued agenda?
Pam Miller, I make a motion to approve the continued agenda.
Darren Bagley-Heath, I second.
For the vote, Robin?
Robin Williams, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Darren Bagley-Heath, approve.
Mabel Lee, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Motion carries. There are no requests for an extension, and so we will continue with the regular agenda. Applications that are submitted monthly appear in the regular agenda in the following order by district: Victorian District, Kyler Brownsville District, Streetcar District, and Conservation Districts. Let's begin the regular agenda. Staff will present the application with a recommendation. The petitioner will then have the opportunity to respond to the recommendation. The board asks the petitioner to limit their presentation to 10 minutes or less and only address items identified as inconsistent with the ordinance and questions raised by the board. The public will then have the opportunity to comment, after which the petitioner may respond to public comment. The board will then go into board discussion, at which point no further testimony is received unless specifically requested of and granted by the chairman. We will structure the board discussion by calling on each board member for two rounds of two-minute comments or less. Board members are not required to comment. The first application is the petition of Andrew Donovan, 214 West Duffy Street, after the fact alterations.
Ready?
Ready.
If I get too quiet, please let me know. I'm naturally very quiet. So again, first project is 214 West Duffy. There is another application for this property. That's for the front porch. That's going to be heard separately and not at this moment. So this first application is for a request to approve new and after the fact alterations to the property at 214 West Duffy. So this work includes retaining a window on the western portion of the rear facade, removing previously installed double doors, recreating a historic window, installing a single door, as well as the construction of a fence, replacement of some siding, and replacement of windows. So some background on the property itself. It was constructed circa 1884 and is contributing to the local and national districts. Based on Sanborn mass of this home, there was previously a one-story portion on the rear. This was enlarged sometime between 1888 and 1898. It's unclear if it was just added onto or if it was taken down and then constructed again. Also during that time, a front stoop and or porch was added to the front of the property. The home has retained the same footprint since 1898. It also appears to have been used as some sort of rental property with multiple renters historically, which could explain some of the alterations that staff can't pinpoint any other alterations done to the property. So y'all may remember this project from last month or last meeting. It was previously for some after the fact work. Staff was notified of the work in October. Code compliance was notified and they went out to help deal with the project. At the last meeting, the board moved to continue the project to address concerns in the staff report, which is seen on the screen. The information that staff requested has been provided to staff since that project. So let's briefly go over what's happening. So on the rear facade, this is a drawing helps show some extent. The applicant is proposing recreating a historic window opening, retaining a non-historic window opening, and filling a non-historic door and installing a new single door, which is seen right here beside the historic window opening. Staff could not find any evidence that a single door would have been in that location, however. Staff finds that all this work on the rear meets the standards. As a current door opening, it's non-historic. That's one being infilled. The surrounding structures have similar openings on the rear facade. The eastern window, of course, it's historic. It's being reopened. And then the other window is already existing, so it's fine to keep it as is. So the applicant is also proposing removing all the windows as well as removing the front and rear siding. Based on the information provided to staff and based on a site visit to the property, staff determined that these materials are severely deteriorated and can be removed in this case. The applicant is proposing cedar siding for the replacement siding. Staff does request that they provide us with the reveal of the siding just to make sure it matches what will be retained. They're also proposing Victor-built historic series wooden windows. These have been previously approved. Staff is requesting for some important specifications just so we know the configuration, mun size, and whatnot. Finally, the applicant is also proposing an 8-foot-tall fence constructed of wood. Staff does find that to meet the standards. We just need the final design for the fence. With that, let me roll down. Staff does recommend approval of the request for the after-the-fact work as well as new alterations to the property located at 214 West Duffy with the following conditions to be submitted to staff for final review and approval because the work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. The first condition is that the applicant provide product specifications for the windows showing product details to include configuration and mun size. Second is to provide the siding reveal for the new siding to confirm that it will match the existing siding. And the third is to provide the final fence design. Threw a lot out there. So do y'all have any questions, concerns?
Are there any questions for staff?
Yeah, Robin Williams, I have a question about the siding.
Yes, sir.
And this is a clapboard building, correct?
Yes, sir.
Is there, and I'll defer to some of my colleagues on the board, I'm not aware of cedar being used for clapboarding. Because that's a very different texture.
Super
pine.
Yeah, uncommon.
I have concerns about using cedar, though it is a durable material for this climate, but it, I don't know, I have concerns that it, and it mills differently. It just, I don't think it's going to match as well as it could.
Anytime I've ever seen cider, or listen to me, cedar, it's been in the shake format, not in the flat right. Sort of beveled siding format. And I do think that there is a texture difference. I would, you know, have to look at this product to see, but yes, I tend to agree.
But then again, I guess they could sand it smoother and with a lot of labor make it. So you're requesting a sample?
They provide like a photographic sample, but we're just looking at the actual reveal of it just to make sure it matches.
Yeah,
but you can put a condition on if you want another product or for us to confirm prior to purchase.
Yeah. Well, again, I'll defer to people who deal with these materials more frequently than I do. I just know from my experience when with cedar used, I've seen it used on a couple of houses and it, even when painted, it doesn't look the same. Yeah, it's more rough hewn, so.
Kind of furry.
Any other questions before?
I do have one also about the siding. I can't tell from the images. Is the existing pine siding, does it have a half lap or is it a flat bevel? Do you know what I'm saying? This is,
yeah.
You know, technical.
Like, I didn't notice any like decorative beveling. It may have had it and I just not realize it.
Like, yeah, so
Generally speaking, there's a little half lap detail on historic siding of, from this period. It'll be heart pine and it'll have that, you know, narrow tapered end. And then on the wide end, it'll have a half lap where it nests onto the following piece. I can't tell from the images. If that's the case, that's what I would assume. It's what we most often see. And I see that the product that they've chosen is not a half lap. It's just a bevel. So that's another question. At the end of the day, it can look virtually the same from the outside, but I suppose with regards to what you're requiring, you know, the sort of reveal, as long as that sticks out. I just wanted to point out that it seems it's possible that the existing siding is just a bevel and not a half lap. So I was just curious if you knew. You don't.
Sorry.
It's okay. Maybe the petitioner knows.
Are there any other questions for staff? Kirsten and Robin, you weren't here for the pre-meeting, but Kelly has stated that I asked about the state of the deterioration, because when I went out there, I thought that maybe some of it could be reused, on, especially on the front facade versus the rear facade, and moving the historic siding to the front rather than discarding it. And go ahead with your answer.
And when Kayla and I visited, we thought there was so much deterioration that so much would have to be removed. We didn't know there would be enough to salvage, and what might be salvageable, it may look off if it's patchwork, if it's not the same length, or, you know, some of those ends. So that's why we were suggesting for removal, though I understand the perspective of salvaging what you can. So.
Are there any other questions for staff? Will the petitioner please step forward and state your name for the record?
Andrew Donovan. And I presented this last time as well, just to address some of the specific concerns. Of course, I'm happy to that I put forward the cedar siding, but if we think from you guys' experience that doesn't match, that is not a big deal at all for me. You guys would do typically see pine around here more than anything else, that is no issue at all. We can absolutely make sure that it matches, and I'm happy to provide samples to staff of pine siding. But you can see in the past from prior your drive-by as well, they've done replacements in the past that do not match. Our goal is not that. It is to actually fix that, because they have gone about it, honestly, the wrong way. So we're just trying to fix it and make it all look the same. But I am happy to change that to pine if that's more visibly appealing, and happy to make sure that it matches with staff as well. There's no issues at all. I believe everything else was addressed otherwise.
I was just going to ask, May, does Repurpose have stock of siding?
Always. Yes. Yes. I don't think I'm supposed to.
I'll do it. You have resources available to you.
I know of the place. We're actually getting our hardwood from there.
Cool. So. do you know, may I, or do you, yeah. Still have questions? Do you know if it's the existing siding is a half lap versus a flat bevel?
I'd have to look. Okay. I'm not sure. I don't want to say the wrong thing. So
I'm
not exactly sure.
It's just it's a milling detail. Yeah,
absolutely.
Whether the pieces would have nested together or whether they just.
Yeah. And we can absolutely make sure that it matches. Yeah.
And cool. I would also suggest, you know, looking beyond the Home Depot and going to like a Gary Lumber or something like that local. They probably have better siding that would match and be more visually compatible.
Yeah. That's where they're going to
do. I do agree. And I wanted to say, when we're talking about replacing historic pine with contemporary pine versus something like a cedar, new pine siding does not have nearly the durability or shelf life of historic pine siding. Oh. So it's up for debate whether, you know, trying to find something of a more suitable material like a cedar that's really durable in this kind of climate versus a new pine siding, where you really do need to focus on the quality of that product, because low quality new pine siding does not last. And I would just caution you, if you're going to spend your money anywhere, please,
absolutely,
you know, make sure you get a quality product.
Absolutely.
Because it'll rot in 5 years.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Are there any other questions for the petitioner? I know a couple of you weren't here last, when he presented last time. So does that, the window configuration make sense to you?
No. Okay.
Are there any members of the public who would like to comment? All right.
Continuing on, we will now enter into board discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. I will call on each board member two times to speak for 2 minutes or less. We'll begin with you, Robin.
No further comment.
Kirsten Connor, I agree with what May has stated, and I agree with staff recommendations.
Yeah. Kathy Levina, I'd like to see, again, that the staff review the siding and approve it so that it does match the existing.
Darren Bagley-Heath, no further comment.
May Bowley, I do think I'd love for the profile to match. If it's a half-lap profile, I think it should be half lap going back. If it's a flat bevel is great. With regards to material, I think as long as it's an approved material that has a similar texture, definitely not a rough sawn furry cedar, but if it's a smooth milled cedar, you know, I think that's up to the discretion of you guys if it's an approved material. But I do kind of agree with regards to salvage and reuse. Siding is, it deteriorates, it takes a beating, sometimes it can't. Sometimes you don't know until you really go taking it off whether there's any good left in there. So I don't know quite how we would word this, commissioners. Maybe you can help me with the thought. But if it is possible to salvage enough a percentage of the existing siding, since it is all coming off and that is a golden opportunity to assess its reusability, especially if you take it apart with care, start at the top, go down. Don't start at the bottom. You break every piece. I don't know how do we word that, but just to say if upon closer inspection after the removal of all of the siding on this house, if it is possible to salvage maybe enough for an entire facade, particularly the front facade, that would be best case scenario. Also, you can't get better. If it is in good shape, you can't get better siding than historic antique heart pine for this climate in this region. It was a native tree. It grew here and it's the best. So if it is possible to piece together at least enough for one side of the building, perhaps we can figure out a way to request that without, you know, obviously going, you know, we don't want to ask you to keep rotten siding on your building by any stretch. Okay, that's my thoughts. Otherwise, thank you for your work on getting this ready.
Pam Miller, no further comment.
Robin?
One other thought is whatever the historic dimension of the siding is, it looks in the pictures like it's somewhere between 5 and 6 inch reveal to match that. Since reveal width varies by time period progressively and getting narrower as you get closer to the present. So anyway, that would be the other condition I would add is that the, even if it's all new wood, match the historic profile and reveal dimension. And would it make sense if there were a salvage repurpose on site of existing material to concentrate that on the south facade, since it seems in my experience, south facades take the most beating, so use the historic wood as much as possible on the south. Would that make sense?
Sure. Makes sense to me.
So not that we put that in a motion, but file that for advice.
Kirsten Connor, no further comment.
Darren Bagley, he's no comment.
May Bowley, no comment.
Pam Miller, no comment.
We will now entertain a motion. Can you please display the staff recommendation? Oh, we got it. Mike, see it. All right.
Shall I take a stab at this one?
Yes.
Bear with me. This is tricky. I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of 23-005724-COA, 214 West Duffy Street, also Andrew Donovan, with the following conditions, 1 through 3 as recommended by staff, and a fourth condition that reasonable effort is made to salvage the siding intact and assess it for reusability, and if possible, to reuse any quality reusable siding on the building, obviously within reason. And a condition number 4 that the, excuse me, condition number 5 that, thank you, that the new siding chosen, any new siding purchased for the building match the, both the profile and reveal of the existing siding. Because the petition is otherwise visually compatible, otherwise in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance.
Robin Williams, second.
For the vote, Robin.
Robin Williams, approved.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Darren Bagley, he's approved.
May Boley, approve.
Pam Miller, approve. Motion passes. Thank you.
Continuing to the second petition of Andrew Donovan, 214 West Dovery Street, porch alterations.
So for this project, 214 West Duffy, the applicant is requesting to construct a one-story full-width front porch on the property located at 214. Property currently has a partial width, stoop, porch, however you want to refer to it as. So as I previously stated with the last application, this property was constructed in 1884 and is contributing to the local and to the national districts. When staff initially talked to the applicant about this project, we believe that full-width porch could be feasible in this case because all the surrounding properties have full-width porches, minus maybe one or two on this block. But upon further research, staff realized that this property never had a full-width porch on it. While it's likely not constructed with any form of stoop or porch, the 1898 Sanborn map does show that partial width stoop in the current location of the current element. There has been possibly some minor alterations made to this over time. The photo that you see on the screen is from 1980. That's the only historic photo that we have. You can tell that the railing that is currently on the property is new. It's modern material, something that may not be approved. The foundation is also made of smooth-faced CMU. While it's seen in the 1980s photo, it's likely not original material. Staff does find that the full-width porch does not meet the standards. While there is context for full-width porch, staff finds it does not meet secondary interior standards 2 and 5, given that we can find no information or evidence that this property had in the full-width porch, making a full-width porch possibly conjectural depending. Materials overall could be compatible because it's made of brick, wood, and similar elements, which are seen within this district. And again, full-width porches are seen in this area, but again, the home itself never had one historically. And finally, staff finds that the full-width porch does not meet the standards for porches, stoops, balconies, and decks. Given that, again, it was not seen historically, staff could support repair or restoration work, given the porch has clearly been altered with time. We'll just need additional information if the applicant chooses to go that route. And this is what being proposed. Sorry, I bring this up sooner. So for a minute. So with that, staff recommends denial of the request to construct a one-story full-width front porch on the property located at 214 West Duffy, finding that does not meet the Secretary of Interior Standards 2 and 5, or the standards for porches, stoops, balconies, and decks. Any questions while I'm up here?
Are there any questions for staff?
Robin Williams, can you pull up the Sanborns that you had shown us for the previous?
That's one on my left. It's 1888. And by 1898, there's something there.
There is what there?
There's a stoop or there. It's hard to see in this photograph.
Yeah, but there's a stoop the size of the current one.
Yeah, it appears to be at least similar in size. Yes, sir.
Although, yeah, the previous SAM 188 shows stoops on the neighboring houses with the dotted lines. That's what those, with the one. But this pair evidently didn't have it.
Did not, yeah. It's also worth noting that the neighbor did,
right,
1960 had a full width, so. That's what we thought maybe could be compatible in this case, but Sanborns show otherwise, so.
And what's the evidence that the current porch has no historic fabric?
We're not sure if the entire thing has none, because the top does look a little bit more.
That's what I was thinking.
More ornate.
You can pull that up on the map.
Okay.
Google Maps.
Google Maps, yes. Just 1 second. We, based on the site visit, we believe that the foundation is not original because that's smooth-faced CMU, purely not 1800s material. Handrails don't appear original. And we think something happened with the roof. As you can tell, it's not straight. It's pulled down. But that detailing, though, does look older. Whether or not it's historic, I don't know. But it definitely appears older.
The brackets look.
And that's why we're unsure what happened on this property.
The piers are original, though. Those look like older brick, even though it's been infilled with CMU.
Yeah.
But I wish we had more photos, but unfortunately, we couldn't find anything.
Okay. Are there any other questions for staff? Can we keep this up while in discussion?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions for staff? All right. Will the petitioner please step forward and state your name for the record?
Andrew Donovan. My hope was to match a lot of my surrounding neighbors' houses with the full length historic style porch. Honestly, this is the only house really in that stretch of road that has something different than all the neighbors. I have no idea of whether or not this has had a full length at some point. My goal was to try to get in similar aesthetic styling to the surrounding neighborhood, but ultimately, I do not know when repairs were done on this. I just recently purchased it, so I can't speak to when previous repairs were done to this.
Are there any questions for the petitioner? Okay. Are there any members of the public who would like to step forward and comment? We will now enter into board discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. I will call on each board member two times to speak for 2 minutes or less. Begin with you, Robin. I'm sorry, to my right.
I think this is an interesting case of in the absence of
turn on the microphone. Yes. Okay. Robin Williams. This is an interesting case of in the absence of much historic fabric, maybe the brackets, maybe one of the brick piers, but at what point do we restrict a modification because of a few fragments that may or may not be historic and an applicant is proposing something that I know this block well. I have a good friend who lives right across the street and all the houses have the full width porches and they make good use of it. And in fact, could maybe make this house that much more usable in this urban environment. So I'd actually support this application. In principle, I think we need to look more closely at the design to make sure it's compatible, but I would support it in some ways. What's present is so incongruous, frankly, although it does have a few historic fragments and perhaps a full width porch could pick up on some of those details that do persist.
Kirsten?
Kirsten Connor, I am in agreeance with MPC staff. I don't think we have the earliest layout footprint still existing, and I think that should be maintained. If it ever was a full-width porch at one point, it was later than this. And I do see the at least one brick pier, which looks to be original, kind of emphasizing that layout of that porch. Obviously, the concrete steps and slab and blocks are not original, and the balustrade and posts. But I would like to see it be kept in that footprint.
Capital Divina, I too agree with the MPC staff recommendation. I think the existing footprint, historic footprint as based on the brick piers should be maintained. I would hazard a guess that the roof elements, there are some historic elements existing, and you would just have to get into it to discover the original or what the original
configuration was. I would stress looking at the application for the full width port, again, try to back away from using a paver material when you recreate in brick. Go to somebody local, like I think Acme Brick, Daniel Brick, but they have brick more in keeping with what is used typically in the historic districts versus a paver brick, which is way overkill. And I would also make sure to look at the size of your, they call them spindles. For instance, the 2x2 spindles that were selected are not really 2x2. They're only 1 5/16. I think I wrote that down. 1 5/16, which is a really skinny spindle. It's the nominal versus the actual that you have to look at. And I would keep with the more historic configuration of the spindle when you are reconstructing a porch.
Staff, could you pull up the Google map of 2012, 10 years ago? Well, that's probably the oldest one that we can see before any alterations were done. Go to the underneath where it says Google Street View, there's March 2022. Oh,
okay. Yeah.
See more dates. Go to May 2012, that's the best one as far as resolution on the earliest. So you see here that the flashing that was previously shown was introduced. That roof line is incompatible with the roof line to the adjacent house, which it is attached to. Obviously, there was some water intrusion. That's why they've got the lead covering. And then we've also seen a change now between 20 years ago and now as far as the way that is supported. Somebody's come in and reinforced it and also rebuilt the stair rail and the handrail, which was previously non-historical as well. Whereas if you're looking at the adjacent one, the railing design on the adjacent property is actually looks more historical in a lot of ways, even though it isn't, because you've got cinder block supports supporting that porch roof. So I don't think that the current configuration is, it's as far as physical condition, it's got to be a problem at some point, because even with that lead flashing, you are going to get intrusion into the next door neighbor's porch roof. And that, you've got some structure, which can cause all sorts of other problems with a shared wall property. So that would be where my inclination would be to go towards actually approving it, because aesthetically, yes, it matches up with the rest of the street, but also as far as where in our preservation minds, are we looking at preserving the building and the adjacent property, creating a uniform line? I don't know. I'm kind of need to be convinced. I'm not really convinced which way is the best way to go. But I certainly see that as an issue going forward between two different property owners. And if we're preventing that roof line from being aligned, so there's less of an opportunity to more of an opportunity for water to get in there and create property damage because we denied a design change, I would have an issue with that.
May
Boley. I do agree this is a tricky one. So I'm of two minds. I think obviously something has to be done about this thing. Obviously you're going to try to do something about it. So maintaining a historic footprint, great idea. But as Robin stated, and I tend to agree that, historic buildings evolved, and in the context of this neighborhood, a wide porch so anyways, I'll keep it short. On the one hand, nice to have some variety and spice here of something a little different than the rest. On the other hand, totally justified wanting to keep with the spirit of the neighborhood. It's definitely in historic context. I do agree that design-wise, if we were going to approve, we'd want to spend some time looking at the proposal. So those are my thoughts. First round.
Pam?
Hi, Pam Miller.
I think that you've all made compelling arguments. I look at this and I just see like a patchwork quilt. It doesn't look good the way it is, and it obviously needs something done. So I can see both arguments for full-length porch and keeping the original footprint. So I think if we do decide to move forward, like May just said, that we see a little bit more about the design that they have intended. So thank you.
Thank you. Robin?
I was reflecting on the design of the porch as presented. For the sake of, should we go that way, I think we have to give some feedback on that. And can you pull up the applicant? Yeah, there. So, for example, the cornice of the porch seems very flat and would need to project. If you look at the, can you toggle back to that Google Street View? Don't change it. Just toggle back to the Google Street View. No, just there. Yep, there. And you look at, for example, even the neighbor, let alone the one beyond that, how much more the roof line projects as a cornice. And it's very likely the kind of brackets that you see. This is an Italianate rich neighborhood, so you'd probably want brackets on the porch. Can you tilt up just to see if there's brackets? Yeah, there are brackets up on the main cornice, and it's very common that you'd have a smaller scale bracket, companion bracket on the porch. Doesn't have to be as ornate as the one two doors down, but I would say your detailing is overly simple. Like the balusters would typically be turned on an Italianate porch, not just straight 2x2s. And the piers seem overly thick, wide. What is the material?
It's a paver brick.
Treated wood pine square privacy lattice.
Keep going down. It shows the materials. There it is. There's the paver brick right there. Go back up. Yep.
And that's for the steps?
For the pier.
Or for the piers. Okay. Paver brick for piers?
That's what I said.
That's not right. Yeah, you'd use construction bricks for piers. So there's some, I think if we were to lean towards a full porch, I would be inclined to continue just to see a more resolved design.
Kirsten? I still stand with my original opinion. This, although not original, it is historic very early on to the house, and it's the only one remaining out of the two, so I think it's vitally important to keep it. The roof is concerning to me, but I don't know if there's a way to connect the slopes so there's no water intrusion, because I don't design roofs, so I have no idea. I also want to point out that the original porch would have been wooden, so that could be an option to go back to if that's something the applicant wanted. But I still stand with that this porch being historic should stand and stay that way.
Kathy Ledvina, I agree. I think if we are to comply with the Secretary of Interior standards, we should base the new design on the 1898 porch configuration. The brick pier, the existing brick pier, is certainly from that original porch configuration. Not all houses match their neighbors, even when connected. We also have some, I believe the brackets are your historic details in that roof design. And I think you can design a historically compatible wooden front entry versus a porch, which this is. It's a front entry. And that would better comply, again, to the Secretary of Interior standards, which is what our whole ordinance is based on. Darren?
I have no further comment.
May Bowley. So, a point of order. If we deny this one, he can come back with a restoration plan for the footprint of the existing stoop. Yes? He cannot come back with an application with a full-width porch of a different style. Correct?
We can continue it, though.
That's what I'm saying. If we deny it, he can't come back with another one. Right. Right. Thank you.
Pam Miller, no other comment.
Is there a motion?
Kirsten Connor. I move that the Historic Preservation Commission deny the petition of, and if we need further discussion, that's my opinion. Do we need further discussion? Okay.
I'll ask for discussion on your motion after you make
okay.
It.
I move that the Historic Preservation Commission deny the petition of two 214 West Duffy Street, petition number 23006223-COA, based on the incompatibility of the project with the following visual compatibility factors. I'm sorry, do I just repeat the staff recommendation or do I need a list? As per the staff recommendation as set forth in the City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance.
Is there any discussion on the motion?
Okay. Is there a second? May Bowley second.
For the vote, Pam?
Approved.
May Bowley approve.
Darren Bagley Heath approve.
Kirsten Connor approve.
Robin Williams approve.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Continuing to the petition of 406 East Bolton Street, new construction, small, part one and two.
Ready to go?
Yep.
Okay, I'm sorry. Jonathan Mellon, pleasure to be with you all for the first time. I look forward to working with you all. So the application before you is for new construction at 406 East Bolton Street. This is for review of large parts one and part two. This is presently a vacant lot. This is an interesting block. I'm sure many of you have walked by it. The Kroger is right near there, so I walk by it a lot. There's quite a variety of architectural styles. Some of the buildings are closer to the street. Some are set back. They're one-story, two-story, three-story buildings. What I think is most pertinent to the proposed design that you see up on the screen now is directly to the west is a three-story building that has a three-story covered porch. And I'm sure that that probably, I don't want to speak for the architect, influenced the design. I'll kind of cut to the chase before turning it over to the project architect. Staff has found that proposed design meets the standards from the Article 5 Base Zoning District, TN Traditional Neighborhood District Development Standards. In addition, the proposed massing and scale is visually compatible, as noted This street is really an interesting variety of all different types of architectural styles. I went to college, without boring with you, in the Midwest, and what always struck me about when I lived in Savannah before was, although Savannah obviously has a very southern feel, has a very Midwestern feel to me in a lot of these neighborhoods. And this type of building is something that you saw a lot in Cleveland or Milwaukee or Chicago, obviously with some variations. You also see it in the Northeast, up in Boston. We have a few conditions of our proposed approval that I will pull up. And again, bear with me. I learn your system. Going to pull down. And I think some of these can be answered by the project architect. We just had a few questions, really, but we put them in as the staff recommendation is approval.
That's the wrong one.
Oh, sorry. Oh, they're together. Okay. Thank you. Apologize. Okay. Staff is recommending approval of the new construction small parts 1 and 2 request for the property located at 406 East Bolden Street with the following two conditions: to be submitted to staff for review and approval prior to starting work because the project is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. One of the questions we had was about the doors. The plans, if you went through them, are a little bit unclear about which doors are being used where. So the first condition is provide material information specifically about the doors to be used on this project. Greater clarification is needed on which doors are proposed to be used in which locations, in the different locations. The second condition is, again, really clarification, and again, the project architect may be able to provide that today to you all. Clarify the roof information, including which material is to be used and where, and provide the product information. If you notice on the plans, they're not consistent. Some of the drawings say there's going to be one material here, one material there. Then you go to the next page, and it's different. So those are our two conditions, but otherwise we feel it is very visually compatible with the streetscape. So I will turn it over to the project architect.
Just a second. Are there any questions for staff?
I'm sorry. Sorry.
Robin Williams, looking at the plans, and you mentioned the doors, and one thing that strikes me is that the doors on the first floor, all on the front, all open outward, and this is residential, and I don't know any houses where doors open outward. For security reasons, you want to be able to bar your door.
Right.
And so
that's a good point.
I'd like the architect to address that, both the French doors and the pair of access doors that are more to the left of the steps. But the upper floors, I don't know if so. I guess my question is there a residential code that governs the direction? So commercial code, doors open outward. But residential code, I'm not an architect, so I don't know that code, but I just don't know any houses where doors open outward.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to your question, but it's a good point.
Are there any other questions for staff?
Kirsten Connor, I can ask this to the applicant if you are unsure, but I didn't see any notes on the material of the balustrades. Are they, do you know if they're wood, or I know the columns are wood. That's pointed out.
Yes, I believe they're supposed to be wood, but we will can confirm that. That's a good question.
Thank you.
Any other questions for staff? All right. Will the petitioner please step forward and state your name for the record?
I am this James Wovina. I am the architect. As far as the wood balustrades, they are wood. Everything, the hand railings are wood. The top rails are wood. Everything's wood. As far as the doors go, We can supply a spec cut for it. It's, they're all from Marvin and they will all be solid wood. As far as the roof goes, it's an architectural shingle. And, we'd be more than happy to supply the, cut sheets to staff. And we appreciate the approval.
We have a question regarding how the doors open. Should they not be opening inward rather than outward on the first floor?
No, sir. We open residential doors outward all the time. We use a concealed hinge door. And so there's no way to pop the hinge off the door. We use these doors just to save room inside the space, if you will. We do it a lot, actually, with high-end residential. And we've not had an issue.
Kathy Levine, I have one. The piers, the brick piers, are they defined? It's hard to tell in the picture, the illustration. Are the piers defined at the corners of the building? Is there an inset panel and a pier? And does that run along the sides of the structure?
So we did the inset. It's a 10-inch inset on the front of the building and along the side of the front porch. And then we did not continue that down the sides, but I mean, we'd be willing to entertain that.
So it's defined at the front facade.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Are there any other questions for the petitioner? Are there any members of the public who would like to comment? We will now enter into board discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. I will call on each board member two times to speak for 2 minutes or less. Pam, we'll begin with you.
I think he answered the questions that I had about the roof material and also the doors and how that would be compatible. So thank you.
Thank you. May?
No comments.
Darren?
No comment at this time.
Kathy, my questions were answered.
Kirsten Connor, no comment other than I appreciate the detail in the columns for a new build. Good job. Thank you.
Robin. I just want to clarify regarding what Kathy Ledvina asked the applicant about, because the front elevation drawing doesn't show any separation in the articulation of the brick skirting. I don't know if they need to submit that detail to staff, but as submitted, it does not show any articulation of piers. So if there's a, you mentioned the applicant, Mr. Wabina, you said there will be an expression of piers on the front? That's a question for the applicant.
Can the applicant answer?
Are you there, sir? You're muted by yourself.
I'm sorry. So we can submit a detail showing that and then also update that front elevation to make it more apparent.
Very good. Thank you.
Further discussion, Pam?
No further discussion.
May?
No comments.
Darren?
No further comment.
Kirsten?
No further comment.
Robin?
No further comment.
All right. We will now entertain a motion. Can you please display staff recommendations?
Pam Miller. I approve that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of Wabina Architects
23005185-COA, 406 East Bolton Street, new construction, small part 1 and 2, with the following conditions, 1 through 2. Because the petition is otherwise in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance.
Could you add a third condition that the brick piers be, that a drawing be submitted to staff verifying the brick piers be expressed?
Adding the third condition that a drawing be submitted with the brick piers be submitted for approval.
I think you need to say with staff approval.
With staff approval.
Robin Williams, second.
For the vote, Pam?
Pam Miller, approve.
May Bully, approve.
Darren Bagley-Heath, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Robin Williams, approve.
Motion passes. Thank you. Continuing to the petition of Ward Architecture and Preservation, 210 West Bolton Street, new construction, small, parts 1 and 2. Variance recommendation requested.
Thank you again. This is for a proposed construction of a new two-story carriage house. What's interesting about this property is there is an existing non-contributing one-story garage that was constructed about 5 years ago. What the applicant is proposing to do is to demolish the non-contributing garage, build the two-story carriage house that you see in front of you. It's going to have the exact same footprint, but rise to two stories. So in addition to seeking approval for the new construction, the applicant also has to seek a variance recommendation to the Zoning Board of Appeals for two variances. One is to allow for a 0-foot setback rather than the 3-foot minimum for TN1 zoning districts. And the second one is to allow for a lot coverage of 75%, whereas 60% maximum is allowed in the TN1 zoning district. This is the same request that, as I understand it, was requested 5 years ago and was granted. I'm going to just jump ahead here. Thank you for bearing with us. So staff is recommending approval of the request to demolish the non-contributing garage and construct a two-story, it's going to be an ADU, with the following two conditions. This is something that I'm sure you all have dealt with, and Caitlin and I and Kelly have talked about a lot. You're going to probably give you the heads up. You're going to be seeing this on a lot of our staff reports. What the first condition is, we're requesting additional information on the garage door. That's something that we found that we don't know yet, and we think it's really important when you're dealing with a garage or a carriage house. One of the dominant features architecturally is the garage door, and we want to make sure we have that correct, to make sure it's visually compatible. The second condition is a minor one. If any exterior lighting is being proposed, that we would want to see the product information and the proposed location on the facade facing the lane. In addition, we are recommending approval to the Zoning Board of Appeals for the two variances to allow, as noted, for a 0-foot setback rather than the 3-foot minimum, and to allow for lot coverage of 75%. We would just stress that the applicant is not proposing to increase the footprint of this structure. They're just going up to a second story. So we feel it's, since this was found to be reasonable and compatible 5 years ago, about 5 years ago, that would still be the case now. So with that, I will turn it over to the project architect.
The board has questions.
Sorry.
The board may have questions.
Sorry, still learning your process.
For staff?
Thank you for bearing with me.
All good.
This is Darren Bagley-Heath. So if it was approved 5 years ago, that was before new zoning, right?
Correct.
So the law, the rules have changed as far as, you know, if you're going to take something down and rebuild it, a zoning appeal means that you're now under new zone rather than the old zoning restrictions.
Correct. So I will say that I am not an expert on that.
Right. So there's some differences in play as far as what was acceptable then and is acceptable now. So that's my cause for concern with, yes, it may have been approved to have a zero setback under the old zoning laws, but now we're taking down something and applying it with a new set of zoning restrictions, requiring a 3-foot setback from the lane, which, you know, allows for turning circles and everything else to get in rather than immediately encroaching on the lane. That's one of the reasons why it probably would be there. And that would be something I'd want some clarification, as well as the, you know, the lot coverage and what the acceptable value was prior to new zoning and what the acceptable coverage is now. Because, you know, you were obviously grandfathered in before, but now you've got some different things in play.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Wouldn't that be why they're applying for variances?
Well, maybe. But that's the point, is you're taking down a relatively new structure, but if you're going to put it a new structure, you should be putting it up within the new zoning variances rather than the old. If they were adding a story onto the existing structure, it wouldn't be an issue.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a separate question that may or may not be defined in NUZO, because separate from NUZO being passed, there was ADU legislation passed this past year in 2023 by City Council, and I don't know to what extent it impacts this district, but is there a minimum square footage for an ADU?
There is.
That's a good question, and I'm not.
This is going to be 440 square feet.
Yes, I would have to defer.
Do you know that?
Yeah.
Yes, there are regulations and I'm looking for them.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's a minimum and a maximum.
That's the biggest information. I've got a quick question over, is this the screen door?
Excuse me. Oh, Melanie wants to speak on this. I'm going to put it her on speaker.
Oh, hi everybody. I was just going to basically say, Darren, you were correct with regards to items being grandfathered and not grandfathered. And if they're having to go to the Board of Zoning Appeals, they're asking for a variance for something that they can't meet from the new ordinance. The way that the ordinance that was just redone is set up, it limits the maximum size of the unit. So the minimum size is what is in the code, which is the smallest is 425 square feet. But there is a maximum of how big the unit can be. Is that clear?
Does that answer your question, Derek? Thank you.
You're welcome.
Robin, does that answer your question as well, correct?
Correct.
So back to you. The screen door. Do we have a, is there a, we haven't really come across a screen door before.
Sorry, which?
Is this not a screen door? Am I not looking? I see two doors there. Is that a screen door with a door behind? In the illustration, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Okay, stop.
Yep, got it.
Look at the front door.
Yes.
So you have one door, correct? And then a wood, looks like a four-panel wood door behind that.
It might just be an entrance to the upstairs.
So that's just in review.
I think the project architect could probably answer that better than I could.
Okay, thank you.
That's a good question.
Are there any other questions for staff? Will the petitioner please step forward and state your name for the record?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. My name is Josh Ward with Ward Architecture and Preservation. Like to thank staff for the review of this, and of course we'll work with them on those two items that they brought up. Just a little bit about this project again. The intent is to use the existing slab of the non-contributing garage right now and basically extrude it to a two-story building. Interestingly, historically, there was a two-story wood frame accessory building in this location. In regards to the setbacks, we're just going for a variance for the side yard setbacks. We meet the rear yard setbacks. And of course, this is behind a townhome, which also has zero side yard setbacks. So we actually match the main house in that regard. And again, it's, you know, it's a little bit unique in that it's an existing garage, but we're trying to create a carriage house on this lot. Ms. Levine, your question, there's actually a wood glass door right there. What you are seeing beyond that is the interior door. So there's no screen door on the rear facade. And I'm happy to answer any questions that anybody may have.
Are there any questions for the petitioner? Kathy Ledvineff, good question. Are your shutters operable?
Yes, they will be.
Okay. And I've seen this detail before on a couple of designs. The shed roof over the garage. I guess I just ask why.
To add just a little bit more shelter for the people entering the doors, the existing garage has a similar condition that we are using to sort of emulate. But again, it's just more protection for the rear openings, basically. And just want to clarify too, you see that power pole and screen around it, that's existing in that rendering. It's just...
So I guess my question is, mm-hmm. Where are the gutters? Where are the downspouts?
There are none on this.
Thank you. Are there any other questions for the petitioner?
I have a question, but I'm not sure who I need to address it to.
Ask the petitioner.
Can we see the main house, picture of the main front house?
We have some images.
Just because I have a question about design compatibility, and I know that one of the ADU requirements is the architectural style needs to not necessarily match, but needs to be similar to, so I just wanted to look at that between the materials of that and then the proposed ADU.
The main house is brick structure, Italianate. It does have decorative brackets at the eave, which we tried to emulate in our design, but not make this an Italianate carriage house, basically make it a carriage house for today. So the main elements that we tried to pull from are the brackets. There's a, which isn't shown here, there's a, an addition on the back of the main house, which is clapboard, which you can see in this corner photo here. So where this arrow is, that's the rear facade of the main house. So it's got lap siding with brackets, operable shutters. So again, we're using that as a,
So it's brick front and then the clapboard all the way around?
On the rear it is.
On the rear. Right. And can we see again the proposed, the proposed drawing of the ADU? Well, there won't be any mistaking that for being original or historic. My concern is that as I'm a neighborhood president, I'm seeing more and more people wanting to put up ADUs. So I want to be clear as we go into this as to whether or not that visual compatibility or architectural style is really what we're looking for and, you know, how much of it needs to be, somewhat alike.
Sure.
I guess that's my question. So I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. In our approach, generally to new architecture, whether it's, you know, infill or, in this case, a new ADU on existing, where there's existing houses, to pull elements, architectural elements from the existing design, but not to, we don't like to create or design new buildings that are, you know, this is Italianate. We try to give it a little bit more of a contemporary feel, again, sort of distinguish it from the old, but also to make it sort of part of our existing time.
Any other questions for the petitioner? Are there any members of the public who would like to step forward? All right, we will now enter into board discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. I will call on each board member two times to speak for 2 minutes or less. Let's start with you, Pam.
Pam Miller, I have no further discussion.
May Bowley, no comment.
Darren Begley, no further comment.
Kathy Lidvina, I think the shed roof over the garage and the front entry is an element that detracts from the overall visual compatibility of the building. Gutters may help with the water runoff from that the slope of the roof. They would catch the water and carry it down to the lane rather than the big onslaught of runoff, and thereby limiting that need for the secondary shed roof. Kirsten.
Kirsten Connor. I don't think I take any issue with the applicant's proposal. I did want to point out, or I guess reiterate, the original historic carriage house that was there was two stories. It was wood framed. And having a, maybe not a full width, roof covering, over the door in the garage was not necessarily common, but that is seen as I was looking through Street View. To have a covering on a two-story structure like that. I also really appreciate working shutters. Thank you.
Robin?
Sorry, I'm just noodling around Google Street View and the neighboring lanes to see if I could find any comparable examples of a two-story with a cornice halfway up, and it seems more common that, for example, at 201 West Waldberg Lane, maybe staff could pull it up. Would seem to validate Ms. Lidvina's concern. 201 West Waldberg Lane. You're not in the lane. You're on Barnard. Yeah, so go about halfway down the lane. Maybe, yeah, just that one, right? Just go forward a little bit. I think this is a good example of what Ms. Lavina's has in mind. So I'd say this configuration, I found others that are like this, that where there is no cornice above the first floor. The whole point of lane buildings is they're more modest than their front building counterparts, which if the front building is brick, this one's wood. That is one way of being simpler. So I'm inclined to agree with Ms. Lidvina on this one, that the intervening, the first floor cornice either be reduced to being just above the door, a very narrow canopy above the door, and call it done, but going the full width of the facade doesn't seem compatible.
Pam?
Pam Miller, no further comment.
May Bowley, no comment.
Darren Bagley Heath. Yeah, I kind of see where you're coming from, Robin. Like, it's almost like a, without the stoop, but a stoop
type effect over the doorway, which provides protection to the pedestrian entering the building. Whereas if you're going into the garage, you don't really need that roofline. Yeah. So there's really no necessity to. It probably is going to, if you're going to put a garage in like that, you probably would put an electric door. I don't see many people not doing that anymore. So especially spending that kind of money. So yeah, probably, and it would give a sense of scale to it. I concur with that.
I agree. Over the entry door, would be approvable.
Kirsten Connor, I agree with that, Robin. I think that. If the petitioner is amenable to that, I think that would be a great compromise.
Robin, anything further?
No further comment.
We will now entertain a motion.
I'll take a stab and find my script. Robin Williams, I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of I should know this. Ward Architecture. Thank you. Application. Can you scroll up so we can see the application number? Just scroll up. There it is. Application number 23-005721-COA at, where to go? The address. Thank you. It'd be nice in the future if you could have all this information written right there so we can facilitate 210 West Broughton Street, sorry, Bolton Street, with the following conditions, staff conditions 1 and 2, and a third condition that the cornice as presented by the applicant be reduced to just above the door and submitted to staff for approval. And recommend approval of the two zoning variances to the Zoning Board of Appeal.
Robin, you want to mention that it's the cornice on the first floor?
Oh, just call it the first floor cornice. Yes. Yeah. So reduction of the so condition 3 would be reduction of the first floor cornice to just above the door. Because the petition is otherwise in compliance with the visual compatibility criterion standards as set forth in the City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance.
Is there a second?
Kirsten Connor, second.
For the vote, Robin?
Robin Williams,
approve. Kirsten Connor, approve.
Darren Bagley-Heath, approve.
May Bowley, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Motion carries. Thank you. Streetcar District, the petition of Wabena Architects, 304 West 37th Street, new construction, large, part 1 and 2.
Thank you. This is another same project architect as we heard from before, who I guess we'll be calling in. This is another vacant lot. This is on the corner of 37th and Jefferson. I'm sure you all remember few years back, the contributing church that dated from around the turn of the century burned down, and it also took with it the house directly to the west. And so presently, this is just a vacant lot. The applicant is proposing the construction of a fourplex on this site. The applicant is seeking approval for new construction, large, part 1, height and mass. I will cut to the chase. Staff feels that the proposed design is visually compatible and meets the standards. We do have a few conditions, which I will go to. Bear with me. All right, give me a second. So the staff recommendation is recommending the approval of the new construction large part 1. At 304 West 37th Street with the following three conditions to be submitted to the commission for review with the part 2 design details within 90 days of this decision. So one of the questions, and the project architect may be able to answer this, we were a little bit unclear on the proposed entrance stoops, whether they met the standards in terms of their sizes. one of the challenges with some of the drawings were some of the dimensions are provided and some aren't. If more of the dimensions, if all the dimensions are just put on the drawings, I think that would answer a lot of our questions. The second condition, as I read it, some of the proposed meters are going to be located on the Jefferson Street facade. We would recommend that the applicant look at potentially relocating those to a less visually incompatible location. And the last condition that we are recommending is for the parking area at the rear of the lot. It's just over 30 feet. And so there is a requirement for it to be properly screened and planted. That's quite a run of street there. So if it were not, in our view, it would not be visually compatible. So that's the third condition for that to be properly screened as per the regulations. So I know now your questions.
Are there any questions for staff? I guess my question is, Kathy Levina, could you please just clarify since we're only doing part one, exactly what we're looking at here?
I'm sorry.
Versus part two.
Right. Yes. So the part two will have all the additional details that you would need for the final review of the project, if that makes sense. Where I come from, we had concept and then we had permit. And so for me, part one, in my mind, is concept, where you come in and you basically get the blessing for the proposed massing, scale, general fenestration, general site plan. And then when you come back for part two for permit, in where I worked in DC, you would then provide all the details related to the window details, the door details, any details related to porches, final material samples, things like that. Does that make sense? Lighting.
Right. Okay, thank you. Any other? Number eight.
I believe this is just part one.
Can I ask a question? What is the height limit in this on this location?
The proposed height?
Stories. Or
if you'll give me a second.
Stories, but I don't know if that applies outside the downtown district.
Yeah, excuse. Give me one sec. Sorry. See, height. Sorry, I'm used to doing this.
Maybe Pam is 45 feet.
Yeah.
Is the idea of a height map, though, is that just the downtown district that has a height map per se? Okay.
Yes, the downtown district.
Yes.
Downtown has height map.
Any other questions for staff?
35 feet.
It's just under 35 feet as proposed, which, as you noted, is under about 10 feet under.
Any other questions for staff? All right, would the petitioner please state your name for the record?
The petitioner is online. I will be putting him on speaker now.
Can you unmute yourself, sir?
I'm sorry. We appreciate the recommendation of approval, and we can get the staff the additional information needed to move forward. And that's all.
Thank you. Are there any members of the public who would like to step forward? Seeing none, we will enter into board discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. I will call on each board member two times to speak for 2 minutes or less. Robin?
No comment.
Kirsten Connor, I agree with staff recommendations.
Darren Bagley, no further comment.
Mabel Lee, no comment.
Pam Miller, no comment.
Kathy Levine, just a quick question. Materials, do we discuss materials here?
So my understanding is...
Exterior materials.
Yeah, that would be something that we really would get into when they come back.
For part two.
Yeah, correct.
Any further discussion?
Pam Miller, no further discussion.
Hey, Bully, I think it's pretty good looking. That's it.
Darren?
No comment.
Kathy?
No comment. Kirsten Connor, no comment.
Just one detail that came up with the last application from this applicant regarding detailing brick piers and the skirting is absent here too. So if the applicant could detail those piers across the front facade at a minimum, if not, and actually along Jefferson Street, since it's a very public facade. So I would recommend adding a further condition to this application. And just curious, is that brick patch of brick, is there a functioning fireplace behind that, or is that just decorative?
It's supposed to be chimneys. Yeah.
But
yeah.
There's a chimney that pops up in the
there. Just not in the perspective view.
Yeah, you can. There's chimneys. There are end chimneys on each side. Side chimneys, excuse me. But the presentation.
Are they tall enough, given that there's a penthouse right there?
I don't think so. They're only like 3 feet.
I mean,
I think they. I don't know what the distance is.
My chimney
is
on my house goes up 10 feet above the roof line.
Enough.
Would seem, I think, given the broadness of the portico, I think if you're going to express the chimney on the exterior, you'd want to be able to see it carry on above the roof line. If they want to hide the chimneys and keep them short, assuming there's no code requiring a minimum roof clearance if they're functioning fireplaces, I assume historically there would have been a minimum clearance code, but given that they're expressed, which is certainly an historic detail, I would recommend having them expressed more vertically.
Or excluded. If it's a, because it's probably going to be, right, exactly, because otherwise it's probably going to be I would imagine, and the petitioner can speak to it, I would imagine the intent is for a gas fireplace, and therefore it wouldn't need a full chimney, it would just need a, No, I appreciate that's what I'm saying. As far as the reason why they probably only extended it is because it's gas and doesn't need that function. But so therefore, why even show it at all, right? That's your point. I just have a vent on the roof that is not visible.
Yeah, question, Robin Williams' question for the applicant. The fireplaces, A, are they functioning? And B, are they just for gas? Or would they ever burn anything other than gas? Like, such as wood.
So the owner wished to have a chimney element on the buildings to complement some of the other buildings along that area. But the chimneys or the fireplaces themselves will be gas and not require a chimney. So it's basically a visual element. The brick sticks out, it's either 2.5 or 3 inches. I believe it was 3 inches from the actual siding to sort of differentiate it. And I know that's not a lot, but we're right there on the property or the setback line. So the more we like squish the building in to get a chimney, the less likely we're going to have a chimney. So we might end up just getting rid of them.
Well, the expression of the chimney, just a couple of inches, is fine. It's the expression of the chimney vertically above the roof line that seems to be lacking.
I got you. We could extend them up so they're visible.
Repeat that.
We could extend them up so that they're more visible. I don't have a problem with that, and I know the owner won't either.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Any other discussion? Hearing none, is there a motion?
I'll take a stab at it. Yeah, I'm just collecting my thoughts. So it was the chimneys. Anything else?
The piers.
Oh, and the piers. Thank you. This is Robin Williams. I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of Wilbina Architects for petition number 2300-5729-COA at, where'd it go, 304 West 37th Street with the following five conditions. The first three as defined by staff, as well as a fourth condition that the chimneys be raised to be visible from ground level, to be reviewed by staff. So I, you know, probably raised roughly to the height of the penthouse cornice, but as long as they're visible, they're not visible in the presentation drawing. And fifth condition that the brick skirting express piers on the south and east facades, because the petition, because the petition is otherwise in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance.
Is there a second?
Darren Bagley, second.
For the vote, Pam?
Pam Miller, approve.
May Boley, approve.
Darren Bagley, Heath, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Robin Williams, approve.
Motion carries. Thank you. Continuing on to BMP Doctor LLC, 306 West 40th Street, new construction, small, parts 1 and 2, variance recommendation request.
So the final project on the agenda is an application requesting approval to construct an accessory dwelling unit at the rear of the property located at 306 West 40th Street. The applicant is also requesting to remove a non-historic storage shed that was added to the property by a prior owner. The applicant is also requesting a recommendation to the Zoning Board of Appeals for a variance from the standard with Section 8.7, accessory structures and uses, which is right here, to allow an accessory dwelling unit percentage of 53.13% of the footprint of the primary dwelling, which totals about 700 square feet. So with the variance, section 3.21.10 variance criteria applied to this project. Again, this outbuilding is about 700 square feet. Under the current standards as amended, ADU can be no more than 40% of the footprint of the primary structure, no more than 700 feet. If this outbuilding were to meet that criteria, it could be no more than 527 square feet. So again, they're requesting 700. Staff found that under the literal interpretation of provisions, the applicant will be derived the rights commonly enjoyed by other properties with existing ADUs that are comparable in size in the same zoning ordinance. The other variance standards have otherwise been met. So again, to reconstruct this, the existing shed will also need to be demolished. The shed was constructed outside the period of significance and does not qualify for contributing status as it's not exceptionally important. Staff also finds that this structure meets Secretary of Interior standards and meets the standards for visual compatibility. Finally, staff finds that the standards for this insert are met with the exception of a couple elements. The windows that be proposed are made of vinyl. These are not found to be appropriate, and staff recommends selecting appropriate materials such as PVC, wood clad, or metal. Staff will also need specifications showing the trim work around the windows. The door that's proposed made of fiberglass. Again, this is not appropriate. And another door should be selected with more appropriate materials. Finally, the porch configuration. For the porch configuration, staff will need railing details on the drawings that provide additional details, such as the distance between the banisters. With that, staff recommends approval of the proposed accessory dwelling unit with the recommendations listed on the screen, as well as recommend approval for recommendation to the ZBA board. The full recommendations on the screen. Just a lot to say this late in the day. So if you have any questions, feel free to ask.
Are there any questions for the staff?
This is Pam.
You go.
This is Pam Miller. You might have mentioned it, or it might have been here and I might have missed it. Is the footprint from the ADU exactly the same as the garage or whatever is there now?
That is what I was trying to check. This is one of Caitlin's projects. So unfortunately, I do not know what that footprint is. And it's not listed. I cannot find in the staff report either. So I'm unsure.
So my concern with, you know, again, we're starting to see where I'm at a lot more requests for ADUs. And so far, everyone I've seen has asked for a variance for the size. And I'm concerned that we're setting precedent to do that from the get-go, especially in neighborhoods. I live in Kensington Park. I'm president of that neighborhood. Some yards are really big. Some are very small. And if we start setting precedent now for the variance on size, when are we going to run into problems with that? Because everybody's, you know, a lot of people have expressed an interest in that. So my concern is, where are we going with this from the very beginning that we're already requesting variances?
This is Darren Bagley Heath. What's the square footage again on this property?
On the property as a whole?
On the actual building.
Building is about 700 square feet.
So they want to put a 700 square foot unit up there?
I'm unsure.
Yes. Okay. So if it's, they want the maximum amount for the accessory dwelling unit, but it's going to exceed the footprint, correct?
Yeah. They would otherwise be allowed for 541, but they want 700.
But the minimum, and the minimum allowed is 400. And 425. So you could design a accessory dwelling unit and meet the criteria. It's just they want more. Okay.
So
are there any other questions for staff?
Yes.
For staff?
Yes.
Okay.
Can you go to the application page 18 of 19? Because one thing that's not clear is how this relates to the main house. And I think that's page 18. Page 18.
Oh,
that's right. There. Is that an elevation of the main house and this house proposal? Yes, no.
Yes, sir. It is.
Didn't you say the main house is 700 square feet?
Oh, no. The outbuilding is 700 square feet.
Oh,
sorry.
Okay.
I thought he was asking about the outbuilding.
The main building.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it came across that you were saying that this proposal will meet the same size as the main house.
Oh, sorry. Not being that way. Sorry.
Okay. So this is clearly subordinate to the main house in height and square footage. Yes.
This is Darren Robin, but if they were to build it within.
So the issue is this is lot coverage percentage.
Right. If they were to build it to scale to with, as far as the lot coverage, they wouldn't be able to be
up something
mid five. So it'd be 150 square feet less.
Yeah.
But they would still be able to propose and build a structure there.
What is the lot coverage limit in this district?
Let me pull that up. Just saw that earlier today too.
Yeah.
60%. It's currently just shy of 30.
And this ADU as proposed will push it to what percentage?
The addition of the ADU will bring it up to 30. I'm reading this accurately.
Oh, so with the house
and the ADU, it will come up to 29.4%.
No.
That doesn't seem right.
It's 50, wasn't it? I thought we saw 50.
It's in the bottom. It says at the bottom of the recommendation.
Go to the bottom, 53.3.
53.1% of the footprint of the principal dwelling. So you're allowed 40% of the size of the principal dwelling.
Okay, so it's not a lot coverage problem. It's a relative to the size of the primary structure problem. But that still seems low for the lot size. Anyway. What is the size of the lot?
I would have to check on top of my, I'm not sure.
6,000. Okay. Big lot.
Kelly, can you bring it back to the main facade drawing?
The main facade, the outbuilding, I'm assuming.
Yep.
They do have elevation drawings as well.
Yeah, the elevation drawing. Excuse me. The lane elevation drawing. There we go. Thank you. Are the overhangs in accordance to the ordinance?
I will need a double check. I'm not sure I can add. Even rates allowed to be up to 8 inches. And It's not
up to 8 or 8 inches.
Minimum.
Minimum of 8.
At least 8.
What is that, 8? No. I can't tell. It's confusing to me.
It appears to be about 6, so it wouldn't need to be pulled out.
All right. Any other questions for staff?
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Do you have either a Google map or something that shows the actual property?
Let me pull up Google Maps real quick.
That'd be great. Thank you. Just because I'm inclined to watch the relation between the ADU and the principal residence, but with this size lot, that might make a difference in how I... So it's like
so this is the primary
like
here.
A lot and a half. Okay. All right. Thank you.
6,500. Any other questions?
Any other questions for staff? Hearing none, will the petitioner please step forward? Please state your name for the record.
Hi, I'm Katie Willey. I am an owner of the property. I am not an architect. I am not a builder. Ours BMP doctor, he cannot be here. He's in Nashville at the moment, so I'll do my best to answer any questions. Just to make sure it's very clear, again, the lot is massive. There's tons of green space, which we love and want to preserve that and do a little bit better job at landscaping. But with the proposed 700 square feet and the existing dwelling, it would only cover 53.13% of the entire lot. So there's still tons of green area, which we love, again. the house itself is what's small. And so that's why we ask for a variance, so that even our smaller carriage house, as you could see in that one picture, is small, but not tiny. As far as the overhang, we're more than happy to address that and get it a little bit farther, add any kind of elements that make it a little better representative of the historic district. We're also happy to use wood for the windows and wood for the doors. And any other recommendations, we're happy to adjust.
Are there any questions for the petitioner?
I have one. Is in your submittal packet, is, I just had it and I just scrolled away, the existing storage shed. Is it the little, gosh, it's towards the end of your submittal. The little structure that we see in the photograph. Sorry, I'm sorry. It was in staff research. That should have been a staff question. No, I'm sorry. It's not in staff research.
That is it.
I was actually just looking at it. Will you show me the one on the left or the right?
So this is.
Okay. Thank you. I just wanted to get eyeballs on it. Thank you very much.
Of course.
Kathy Levina has a question. Well, I've got one statement, one question. My first statement is your front porch railing on your main house is not in compliance. Your balusters are not 4 inches. Spaced 4 inches, so you might want to look at that before we get you.
Absolutely. Yes, ma'am.
And I just see that it's a new porch railing, so mm-hmm. I'm not sure. Okay. Second, I'm having a hard time with the details and the part two details of the carriage house. Can you address, and I know you're not the architect or the builder, address the window size configuration. Do you know why that size was selected or how?
Honestly, no.
Okay.
But is there a visual I can look at too? Where, I'm sorry.
It says it's based on the mm-hmm. carriage so house next door and
just the windows themselves.
Two different. You know, everything.
Yes. Is this what you're referring to?
Actually, the lane side.
Oh, all of the lane, I'm sorry.
There we go.
My assumption is that they're supposed to be standard, but please educate me if you feel like they're different.
Capital Advina, this is more for, I think, board discussion. But I just, there's so many details here that are lacking. It's hard for me to get a complete picture of what this building is going to look like. And when you don't have the details, it's hard to create the overall visual compatibility. It's what I'm having a problem with, the incompleteness, I think, of the application.
I'm speaking to the variance as well. I understand that the size of the lot encourages one to put a larger thing up, but scale is also a really important consideration as far as, you know, the main property and the subordinate property. And when we go past that and we start introducing that and allowing people to do this and recommending variances, we already have some scale issues with new development in town and people trying to go bigger and larger and better. I don't think it will also upset the scale on the lane for the other adjacent properties too.
Kathy Lidbarner, back to the petitioner. Would you have a issue continuing this petition to speak with your builder and maybe submit more details to staff?
Absolutely. Would it be possible to approve part one at this time and then continue part two?
If we can split that up like that, correct? Might be something we should consider. That's her request, right?
She has to make the request. We can't make it.
No, we can. I think we can now.
Okay.
But that used to be the case. I have a question. Are we in questions for the applicant?
For the applicant, correct.
Right. So part of your justification for the larger square footage of this ADU is because the relatively smaller square footage of the existing residence, you have a really large lot size. Is it a duplex?
Yes.
It has two front doors, so.
Yes.
Have you considered, and the idea would be this would be a third residence on the site?
That's right.
Okay. So it really wouldn't impact the two that are there. It just provides.
Not at all.
A larger option for a third residence. And had you considered putting an addition on the existing residence, which would make those two residences bigger, but it doesn't. I mean, the reservation, do you understand the reservation we have is the more we approve exceptions to the relative size, the height and the building is too big relative to the existing residence. So one way around that is to make the existing residence bigger.
Yeah. We did consider that. We weren't sure if that was appropriate, but also we kind of wanted to stay away from touching the existing dwelling just because it is historical. You know, the less we can do to change that and alter it, I think the better.
Okay. Well, thank you for your feedback.
Absolutely.
Are there any other questions for the petitioner? Hearing none, we will enter, at this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. I will call on each board member two times to speak for 2 minutes or less. Oh, I apologize. Is there anybody from the public who would like to speak? Hearing none, we will now enter into board discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. I will call on each board member two times to speak for 2 minutes or less. Pam?
Hi, just a quick comment. I know it really put you in a position to be here without either the architect or the builder for some of the questions we have. I want to stick with my original concern again about the size as it is relates to the principal dwelling. There's a reason why the city's approved that relationship. And I'm concerned about that, even though this particular lot seems to have more green space, I do have a lot of concern that, you know, we're seeing more and more requests and there's a reason why they did the relationship the way they did it to begin with. So I don't know if maybe there's a way that they can reduce the size or whatever to make it compatible with the current regulation.
May?
I wanted to just call our attention to page 16 where it looks like the overhang is, I can't quite read because it's kind of blurry, but it looks like it says 2 feet. Am I wrong? But it definitely looks more significant in the building section than it does in the elevation drawings. In the elevation drawings, there's no eave of any kind. Oh. Yeah. Right.
Right. This one.
Right. So that's all. I just wanted to point that out. The submittal packet.
Over the stairwell.
Extra, protrusion over the stairwell. But to point out, Kathy, your point that there's maybe a lack of detail, inconsistency in the sections and the elevations, it does make it difficult for us to judge what this building will look like. And to bring up the question of whether we can approve part one now versus part two, it seems to be like one of our major concerns is this mass. So I don't know that we could. We may just need to continue the entire petition.
Darren?
I think I've made my concerns clear as far as, I mean, it's fortunate that it's a large lot, and especially with a duplex and adding a third residence on it, then it allows each unit to have plenty of space to use for private exterior use compared to a lot of other places. But mass and scale, I think, are very important in preserving, you know, the heritage of the historic districts within our city. And I think that we've already experienced a lot where things that were approved before new zoning came in with larger structures that are taking over some of our streetscapes are, you know, they're certainly an intrusion. Even though we want more density, there's that extra 140 square feet isn't gonna really impact anybody that greatly.
Capulet Vine, again, I do think we should concentrate on the part one.
Kirsten Connor, I do see what everyone is saying about setting a precedent. But the whole point of a variance is to take it case by case. And this is an abnormally large lot. And I think that is a good enough reason to consider the variance being approved. Typically, downtown lots are not going to be that large, and it makes sense for the new ordinance to be the way it is. So I think we should consider this more. In my opinion, I am for the petitioner's variance. And then also, I do agree that it is a little hard for me to make a decision regarding the height and mass without a few more details being added.
You mean the height and mass, or do you mean the part two details?
The part one.
Okay.
Robin?
So just to be clear, you're saying you're sympathetic and willing to approve staff recommendation, but need more detail, so a continuance?
I mean, I would ultimately like to get this done for the applicant now for part one. I don't know how everyone else feels on that.
Okay, Robin Wims, I mean, at a minimum, I would say part two is continued. There is just not enough information. There's conflicting information between the section and the elevations, and the details are not well defined. I think Kirsten makes a really great argument in the case-by-case variance. And I think apart from the footprint, this building actually does follow the recommended subordination relative to the main building. It is shorter and would, from any angle, perceived to be subordinate. So, and I respect the owner's desire not to increase the size of the historic building to get around that problem. So, I think I could side with Chris on this one in terms of approving the variance, but would require, otherwise I don't see the height and mass looks appropriate otherwise. So I could be sympathetic with approving or ready to approve part one.
Pam?
I think in light of the fact that, again, the size of the lot, and I agree with you, Kirsten, about the, if that's what variances are for. I do, again, want to just say I'm concerned down the road if other neighbors want to do the same thing and it's just, you know, whatever. The fact that this still with that still has only a 53% lot coverage gives me some more, I think, flexibility with approving the something like a variance on this. But I'm very cautious about this going forward. I just want
to. Yeah, just to be clear, it's 29% lot, or somewhere below 30% lot coverage. It's 53% of the size. The 53% is the
footprint.
700 the relative footprint.
Okay.
To the
yeah, right.
principal
gotcha.
Residence.
Yeah.
So it's
only 29%.
The maximum
so
of 40.
Even more so.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you for that clarification.
May Boley, 29% is what's left, or 29% is the lot coverage? Oh, wow.
The variance they're asking for is the percentage of the ADU to the main house.
Okay.
So the main house is 1,400 square feet, or just over what is.
It's 1,125.
So the carriage house is going to be a bigger, because it's a duplex, it's going to be bigger than the two units in the principal residence.
Right. 1,125 is the footprint of the main residence, but it's two stories.
Okay.
So presumably each residence has the equivalent.
It's 22, yeah.
This is
okay.
The problem is that 700 is just more than 40.
Mm-hmm.
To the
well below the, this is TN?
Two.
TN
two. So 60%. I mean, they're under half the lot.
Yeah, that's what my question was. So it is accurate that it's 30% lot coverage with both buildings. Yeah. Yeah, that's really odd. And, you know, amazing. I think this is an interesting one. We've had a lot of interesting ones tonight. We thought we were going to have a short agenda today, but we did not, in fact. I would be inclined to improve part one. I definitely agree that we should wait on part two.
Darren? Kathy Levine, no further comment.
Kirsten Connor, no further comment.
Robin Williams, no further comment.
We will now entertain a motion.
Kirsten Connor, hopefully I do this right. I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of BMP Doctor LLC, number 23002366-COA, 306 West 40th Street, new construction, small, for only part one and the variance recommendation request. With staff recommendations 1 through 3, and the pier bump out, right?
No, that was previous.
Honestly,
1 through 3.
I think staff conditions are only relevant to part two.
Okay.
So we can leave them off, correct?
Okay.
If we're only approving part one?
You're not weighing in on
right. The materials. So we don't need the conditions.
They should take them into. They're going to come back.
For yes.
They should definitely be paying attention.
Yes. They'll be there again if you don't.
Do I need to restate that?
Please.
I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of BMP Doctor LLC, number 23002366-COA for 306 West 40th Street, new construction small, part one, and variance recommendation request. Yeah, because the petition is in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance.
Is there a second?
Darren Bagley-Heath, I second.
For the vote, Robin?
Robin Williams, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Darren Bagley-Heath, approve.
May Bully, approve.
Pam Miller, approve. Thank you. Approved staff reviews. A list of staff reviews is attached to the agenda. Are there any questions of the staff regarding their approved staff reviews? I'm going to read the staff reviews. The board will then vote to acknowledge the approved staff reviews, including the petition of Jessica Glenn, 534 West Wahlberg Street, replace 4 windows. Petition of Russell Finland, 212 West Bolton Street, replace and reconfigure existing rear non-historic egress stairs and metal roof. Petition of Doug Bean Signs, 1526 Bull Street, projection sign. Petition of Daryl Moultrie, 521 Siler Avenue, after the fact window installation and door. Petition of Fred and Kathleen Keim, 516 East 38th Street, replace existing fence. So the board will now vote to acknowledge and approve staff reviews. Pam?
Approve.
May Bully, approve.
Darren Bagley-Heath, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Robin Williams, approve.
Thank you. Notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. Okay. Other business. Look on the agenda. The chair to appoint nominating committee for 2024 chair and a vice chair position.
Yes.
This is Robin Williams. Just especially in light of the proposal to move, or not the proposal, the decision to move the meeting times of the meetings back 1 hour, I thought I would have rotated off this board by now, but I was informed by Ms. Everett that I'm still on the board until the replacement can be found. Unfortunately, I didn't know that when I made my schedule, and the meetings will conflict with my classes for the next 2.5 months, like it, probably at least the February and March meetings for sure. In January, yeah, right. January. I was thinking this is the January meeting. No, so the next 3 meetings. So depending on when a replacement is appointed, I had planned to show up at 4:30, but sounds like the meetings may well be done by that time. So for what it's worth, this may be my last meeting. I'm not sure. But any word on replacements? Okay. So anyway. And
Pam, can we submit to you names?
They would have to apply through the city.
Correct.
On the city's website.
Right.
Yes.
Well, I guess what we would do is recommend to those people to submit their application.
Any news on if there are no current applicants?
I haven't seen any.
Okay, there are applicants. Okay.
Is there anything you can do to expedite the process, Pam? Because we won't have quorum.
I was going
to
say.
But with the city clerk to find out what's going on with the appointments.
I guess my question is, since Rebecca Fenwick's not here, and she and I rotate off at the same time, and if I don't show up, do you even have a quorum?
We still have Mr. Nertrika, so we would have a quorum.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Do we need, I need to appoint a nominating committee for the 2024 chair and vice chair? I will serve on that committee.
Sure. Just want to state for the record that I can't believe we're here again already.
Maybe Virginia will. I'll ask Virginia if she will as well. Okay. New business, ADUs in the conservation districts. I think we definitely need to discuss this real quick.
Thank you. This is a little bit new to me, to us. So I'm going to actually have John, who's here from the city of Savannah. We appreciate Bridget had him come. Can talk to you a little about why this is here.
Sure. Good afternoon. I'm John Anagnos from the Planning and Urban Design Department at the city of Savannah. And so you all have discussed the changes to the accessory dwelling unit standards that were put into effect last year by the Savannah City Council. And so one of the changes that took place at that time was that certain aspects of the ADU standards are to be reviewed by this board when there's a variance proposed for certain standards within conservation overlay districts, which are local overlay districts of City Savannah zoning. Which do not have authority to review new construction. Only demolition would typically be reviewed by this board in the conservation districts. But for these particular standards of the ADU regulations, you are given an advisory or recommendation role for a variance to those standards. And then for historic districts that are listed on the National Register but are not local overlay districts, you also are given that same advisory or recommendation role in the review of those variance requests. And so, yes.
So does that include places like Kensington Park and Magnolia Park?
Yes, that's correct. So Kensington Park is listed on the National Register. Magnolia Park is eligible but not listed. So Magnolia Park would not have this role. The districts that are listed, I believe.
Ardsley.
Ardsley, Gordonston, let's see, there's a
Parkside.
Couple.
So you're,
Parkside,
so
correct.
Because Kensington Park's not a conservation district.
No.
It's just
no zoning authority.
So conservation districts would be Ardsley Park, Chatham Crescent, Parkside. Is Gordonston conservation? now?
No, but it's National Register listed.
Just National. So the only conservation districts are Ardsley Park, Chatham Crescent, Parkside.
And Carver Village.
Oh, and Carver Village.
And Kensington's in the process, or we were until Leah.
If you're listed on the National Register but do not have a local overlay, you also have this review role.
Oh, good.
What are?
So it's listed and conservation.
That's correct.
Listed. Yeah. Oh, listed and conservation.
Right, that's correct. So
it's come above in front of this committee.
Right.
Okay.
And so.
What are the criteria that we would use? Like, what is it that we're advising on?
So there are not criteria established. So the two standards that this applies to are the minimum lot area for an accessory dwelling unit and the maximum height. And so the minimum lot area, you may be aware, is at least 125% of the typical minimum lot area for the underlying zoning district. And then the maximum height is 25 feet or no greater than the height of the principal structure, whichever is less. And so in today's item, you have a proposed accessory dwelling unit in a residential single family six district where the lot does not exceed 125% of the typical 6,000 square foot minimum lot area. And so in that instance, you do have the ability to make a recommendation to the Zoning Board of Appeals for their variance review. So it's really up to you. There are not criteria defined in the zoning ordinance. It simply says for each of these standards that this board shall provide a recommendation. We don't really have a process. This is kind of our first attempt at this process. If it's your wish, you can coordinate with your staff to develop some type of staff report if that's something that you feel like would be helpful for these reviews. For the purpose of the Zoning Board of Appeals and for, you know, the eventual permit approval, really your recommendation appearing in the minutes of this meeting is sufficient to serve the purpose of that zoning requirement. So that's basically where we are. I welcome you to consider establishing a more formalized process, but that's the bare minimum.
Can you restate what you said about the 125% minimum lot area? Because this is a 60 by 100 foot lot, R6, right? So 6,000 square foot lot.
Right.
So it does not meet the 125%.
Right. So in order to have an accessory dwelling unit in an RSF6 neighborhood, you would need to have at least a 7,500 square foot lot, 125% of 6,000 square feet.
To have one at all.
Unless you apply for a variance, unless which is what's occurring variance. In this instance.
Where do we find more information about this?
About the zoning standards?
Yeah.
You can read them in the zoning ordinance, on the city website, section 8.7.
8.7, that's what I needed.
Is this the first application testing the new 125% rule that was passed last year?
Certainly not the first to request a variance to lot area, but the first to be in one of these districts, either a conservation or a National Register listed district. Yes.
So just for a little history, I was involved a lot with Bridget like 2 years ago in looking at some of this. And I know that there are several that have already made it through that didn't have the conservation district that do not meet the criteria. But isn't architectural compatibility also included there, not just height and size, but because it has to be compatible with them. So in other words, I know we can't just drop in a container in somebody's backyard that meets the – it's got to be compatible with the main dwelling.
Yeah.
Correct?
So there is a standard in the ADU regulations that says it will be. Yeah, I can.
Yes, we need the standards.
I think that's why I was expressing my concern earlier, because I know we're going to see more and more of these, and there's some just slipping through in other areas that haven't been able to get their conservation overlays yet. It's been quite a process, to be honest with you. So.
What is the proposed size of this thing? It doesn't have a dimension drawing.
Well, before I even would have that, make a decision on that, I would like a staff report as part of this process rather than a blind, here's an application, make a decision. I think that we need your expertise and
Yeah,
no, it's a learning process for. Right, exactly. But at least if you create a report, it allows us to disseminate the information and ask the appropriate questions and have somebody who's able to answer them.
Yeah.
And grow together as far as the learning process, right?
There it is.
In terms of the architectural compatibility, that is the purview of the review staff at the city. So myself, for instance, it is not the purview of this board, because this is a general zoning standard. It is not a zoning standard from the design guidelines from the overlay district for any of the historic districts over which you have authority. So, to be candid, that rule is fairly subjective. It behooves administrative staff not to take, take leeway with a somewhat subjective standard like that, or to take liberties with it. So me personally, professionally, I am pretty unlikely. It would have to be a glaring incompatibility for me to point out that standard. In most cases, if it's a different roof style, I'm not going to say that person is not complying with the standards.
Kirsten.
It's a different facade material, similar. It's got to be pretty out there.
Kirsten Connor, I just have a quick question. I know there's a new city position that's like some kind of historic preservationist under Bridget. Mm-hmm. Would they be involved in reviewing that compatibility for these?
I think my initial thought is no, because for historic districts that are local overlay districts, that responsibility lies with this board and with the historic district board of review, and should go through the certificate of appropriateness process. Could that be something that is done as part of the review in these districts? Like, similarly, that's not what's spelled out in the ordinance. So, notably, the requirement that there be additional review for conservation districts and national register districts, listed national register districts, does not apply to this architectural style standard. So, that person certainly could if they were interested in spending their time on that, but I didn't know if that was
a part of that new position.
I do think that person would be very helpful in this type of situation, helping the staff here at the Metropolitan Planning Commission to develop what would be a formalized staff report type review of this recommendation role. Yeah, I think that would be a good thing for them to assist with. It's.
So on this application, is the only variance the one that is addressing the 125%?
That's right.
Because in this district, RS6, there is a 30% lot coverage limit, correct?
I believe it's 40%.
Okay. What district is this? Because I thought it was the same as Parkside and Ardsley Park, Chem Crescent, which I live in Parkside, and I was under the understanding that we're limited to 30. But if it's 40, that'd be awesome. But I could have sworn it was 30. Does it say here in this?
Well, in A1 RSF.
Just says 40% of the building footprint of the principal dwelling. What's the lot coverage limit percentage?
I see what you're saying.
So they're all 40.
Yeah.
Oh.
In the RSF districts.
Is that new? Did that change with NUZO?
Might have to look up the old code.
Okay.
I don't know offhand.
Good. Okay, because this is at 39.87%, so just under.
Architects are pretty good at that.
Yeah. Good to know.
They are.
So we would be looking at, or they, if I'm not here anymore, would be looking at making a recommendation regarding the 125% variance.
Yep.
That's it?
Yes.
Not the, everything else would be done by staff at the city.
Right.
5% plus the max height of 25%. Those are the two.
So this particular permit is not proposing to exceed the maximum height? That's, I don't believe that's part of their application, is it?
But overall, those are the two standards.
Yes, that's right. Generally, yes.
And when a variance, so an advisory role, the variance then goes to the Zoning Board of Appeal, or does it go back to the city?
So this case will go to the Zoning Board of Appeals, and they will receive your recommendation as part of their review.
So in this picture we're looking at above, the lot next door is a much bigger lot. Is that what I'm believing? So it has a huge structure on it and a larger ADU, but it's also a much larger lot. And then you've got this square with a big setback and then a tiny gap between the main unit and the ADU.
Well, for what it's worth, I was on the Chatham County Housing Coalition. I am on it. And our recommendation to council last year was to go with 100%. So an RF6 would, that whatever the base zoning is, so if it's an RF6 and you have a 6,000 square foot lot, you're at 100%. And that was our advice to council, but the MPC was recommending a certain level of caution. So it used to be 100, it was initially 200%.
And that's correct.
And then it was, some were recommending just go to 150, and then I was at council that day advocating for 100. So the fear is if you draw, I mean, the vast majority of lots will never qualify if we hold a line at 125. It's just the reality of, like, in Parkside, almost no one would qualify. Ardsley, same. So if the city is serious about seeing ADUs built, 125% of lot coverage, which is better than 200, which was a complete non-starter, is still a very handcuffing standard. So bear in mind as you move forward that there are other agencies in, or advisory, like the Chatham County Housing Coalition, whose charge is to find ways, strategies for finding housing, affordable housing in the city. And we were advocating at city council, go for 100. So, and that may yet change. They went from 200 to 125. Council may in the future change it again. But in the meantime, it'd be interesting to see how many cases that neighboring lot is an example of a rare lot that could have added. But I can tell you from experience, having contemplated this and being watching that and looking into it, that the reality is few lots. If this is denied on that 125%, few will even bother trying. So food for thought. Are we being asked to give advice on this one now?
I think so.
You may.
Yeah, I think so. I, for one, haven't even looked at it. And so I
would like to continue it, but I'd also like staff, just something from staff as well.
Good afternoon, Josh Allen, representing the applicant. Just for some background on this item, we were scheduled to go to the Zoning Board of Appeals at the last meeting with a recommendation for approval from ZBA staff. It was the day before the hearing when it was flagged that, oh, wait, this new ordinance with its unanticipated consequences is in effect. This is the first time that you've heard an ADU for Ardsley Park. This is not a petition, I think, all the way around, that if we were to take this structure and, you know, add extra buildings, add an additional story, it would never come before you. But we are here with this request now simply because it's an accessory dwelling unit We understand the ordinance is in effect. I don't think this was the intent of the ordinance to send a non-visual compatibility item to this board in a way that it would not be reviewed otherwise, but I did want to put it on the record that ZBA staff was recommending approval for this item in December. So we've already been continued since that date. We are now here.
But to be fair, this is our December meeting today. So in 2 weeks.
No, sorry. So at our ZBA meeting.
Yeah, I know, December meeting.
Yeah. So this continuance, if it's continued today, we're back before this board in February.
No, you'll be January.
You're going to meet January 27th.
2.5 weeks, but it allows us time to get our head around everything. Okay. It's been sprung on us today.
Right. I mean, it was sprung on us as well. I'm simply stating that when staff reviewed this item, it was recommended for approval. There's an existing carport at this site. So the lot coverage, the issues that we're having with lots, it's already there. So thank you all.
Thank you.
That was helpful. Thank you.
I mean, it is only 2 weeks, right?
Yeah.
I'll make a motion.
All right, so we can vote on this, correct? Is there any further discussion needed for the board?
Yes, you can vote on this. And I would just note, if we're talking about conservation districts, I don't think it's applicable in this case because we're talking about a carport. But if there was an existing, say, frame garage that was proposed to be demolished and replaced by an ADU, you all, if we determine that that garage was a contributing structure, it would come to you.
Yeah, we've done this before where somebody's actually proposed that and we denied the application.
Right. So you're aware of that angle of it.
Would you, I'm sure it goes without saying, but would you include, if you guys are going to do a little report for us for the next one, I'd love to know what percentage of lots would qualify, right? Like, is it one in the National Register, or at least for in the districts that we have purview over, right? So in Victorian.
So how many lots in Ardsburg Town Crescent
would qualify?
Would not need this variance.
Exactly. In Kyler Brownsville. I know that's a lot to ask.
You mean
I bet
Carver
that the work has already been done. I bet it has. I'd love to
definitely
see that.
Definitely check. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So.
No. It's a good point.
It's 3 out of 450 lots that would be approved automatically. And everybody else who wanted to build an ADU needs to get special approval. I'd like to know that number.
Right. Robinson, then we can say, okay, 100% is more people than 145, and we can make that recommendation. And it just gives me a better presence of mind.
Because it also, there are some lots in some of these districts that have been subdivided and don't even come close to the 100%. But from my experience in Parkside, where I live, almost everyone has a 60 by 105 foot lot. So.
Nowhere close.
Yeah,
right.
There are so few exceptions to that.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we have to do before we can start to move forward.
It seems odd to ask this board it's a non-visual compatibility issue. It seems like a ZBA issue. Why would it come just because it's a conservation overlay? Is that, I guess, what's the rationale of having this even come to us if it's everything else is being done by staff?
I believe this was a bit of a compromise proposal that there was concern during the negotiations of the text amendment that changed the accessory dwelling unit regulations, that there would be additional accessory dwelling units in the conservation and listed National Register districts on smaller lots than where they had previously been allowed, and that this would be a backstop for some of the massing concerns for some of the residents of those neighborhoods. Because this is specifically in instances where you are requesting something that is taller than otherwise allowed, or the lot is not as large as is normally required.
Sort of like a part one, in effect. Height and mass, basically.
Yes.
Really advisory.
Yep.
All right. Any further discussion by the board? Make a motion.
Staron Bagley-Heath, I make a motion that we extend or continue this ZBA application for 114 East 55th Street, number permit number 23005972 to the January meeting of the Historic Preservation Commission, which will be held on 24th of January, 2024.
Is there a second?
Pam Miller, I second that.
For the vote, Robin?
Okay, and just to be clear, I see in the minutes of the, or the agenda here, is our meeting at 3 or 2 in January? Okay, that's an error on this. Anyway.
So the January meeting is at 3 o'clock with the pre-meeting at 2:30. February starts the 2 o'clock meeting with the 1:30 pre-meeting.
Oh, okay. I may be able to come after all.
Not January. Thank you for asking. I had it wrong. I would have been here an hour early.
So, approve. Robin Williams, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Darren Bagley-Heath, approve.
May Bowley, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Petition is continued to the January 24th meeting. Thank you. Adjournment. Wait a second, I've got to adjourn. The next Historic Preservation Commission meeting will be held on January 24th, 2024 at 3 p.m. in the Arthur Mendonza Room, 110 East State Street. Is there a motion to adjourn the
Robin Williams to make a motion to adjourn.
So moved.